What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
Before we talk about our teams, man, we got to talk about Champions League, bro. Let's just go ahead and get right in now. Arsenal, they did the damn thing. I just want to say, Gabriel, I'm just going to give the floor to you, bro. I'm not going to say too much because we were on here talking a little bit about what you got to do. And I told you, bro, you have to score and you have to limit your mistakes. And I think they did that. And I think that Madrid just did not capitalize on anything they had. You know, they had chances in the first half and just did not do what they were supposed to do. But again, you got to just give all the credit to Arsenal. They did what they were supposed to do at home. 3 goals, clean sheet. I'm going to just hand it over to the Gunner himself.
Listen, man, I'm going to tell y'all right now.
Oh, my God.
Galago! Hey! Our boy! Come on, man. I feel like Declan Rice. Come on, bro. Listen, Declan Rice had a masterclass. A masterclass that match. Hey, you know, a lot of people were clowning me in the comments. I want to go straight to the comments first. I know a lot of people were clowning me. He's delusional. They're not touching this tie. This Madrid, you got out of the this and that. I told you guys. Told you guys from episode 1. I knew Saka would be back. 1. 2, I said that we definitely have a team. We definitely have the squad to go and compete against them, even with all the injuries. And I wholeheartedly believe that we can get a dub. And Thierry Henry, before the match even happened, before, you know, when the tie first came out, he said that you can't go to Madrid thinking, you know, questioning things. You have to go in there with the confidence thinking that you will win. And yes, you do have to play the perfect match, but you also have to have the belief that you will go and win the match. Excuse me. I felt as if from minute 1, every single player, and not only player, but I feel like from the staff to the fans, everyone felt that we could win that match at home. And it was really a sweet victory, honestly. Did I think that Declan Rice was going to score 2 banger free kicks? Absolutely not. But we talk about this all the time. You have to be perfect. You have to be pretty much perfect to beat Madrid. Atletico was this much of a touch away from beating Madrid, literally. And they fell short. And, you know, we have to play perfect to beat this team. And I feel like lucky feelings is a perfect match from us. Was everything perfect? No, in the swing of things, but from a results standpoint, it went swimmingly well. We scored from open play and we scored 2 set pieces, and the 2 set pieces were just great individual brilliance, you know, but those are the type of goals that are going to set us up for success going into the second leg. So shout out to the boys, man. They left it all out on the pitch for that match, and they understood the assignment. To put it simply, they understood the assignment. They knew that before we go to the Bernabeu, we have to put points on the board. And most importantly, we can't let them score. And I think that clean sheet is so important because 3-1 is completely different than 3-0. 3-1 is completely different because Madrid goes to the Bernabeu, they only think they're down 2 goals. And we say it all the time. Doesn't matter if it's in the match or a two-leg series. 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in football. We speak about it all the time. So if Madrid go home 2-0, they're down 3-1 on aggregate, down 2 goals, they smell blood, 100%. So I'm glad that we're able to keep the clean sheet. And honestly, just looking forward to Wednesday. You know, it's ours to lose. Clearly, it's ours to lose. I understand. I understand what Madrid is. I feel we all understand who Madrid is, what they are, what they're about. They're not going to go down lightly. Their fans aren't going to go down lightly. This is their club, very plain and simply. And they're gonna come back wanting all 3 goals in the first half. I know that for a fact. So for me, this upcoming match on Wednesday, it's not about, you know, it's really not about anything offensively for me, bro. I would defensively just tune in. If they don't score, they don't smell blood. Just don't get scored on. Because you get scored on at the Bernabeu, it's gonna get loud. It's gonna get loud in there, and it's gonna get real sticky and treacherous. So
for me, Brancos.
Yeah. So for me, it's really focused defensively. And I think if we score one goal in this tie, cooked. They're done. I'll say that right now. We score one goal in this tie, they're not coming back. Deaded right then and there. We're gonna smell. And as much as Madrid say like to smell blood, we'll smell blood too. We get one goal, they're cooked. They're absolutely cooked. So I think, you know, the first goal is gonna be so important in this match. Whoever gets it is gonna be such an important goal. But you know, I'm very, very happy with how we're doing in Champions League. And like I said before, I'll say it again and I'll continue to say this. If we get through this tie, I fully believe we're going to win the Champions League. I'm telling you this, guys, right now, I fully believe we win the Champions League if we get through this tie. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Last week, Tuesday, I mean, Arsenal's performance was legendary. I heard one of the commentators say that, you know, Tuesday night was Arsenal's best night at the Emirates. And I agree. I mean, you guys are not going to forget Tuesday night for a long time. And I said last week you guys needed to get a result for me to feel like you had a chance. And to be honest, you did more than got a result. Madrid is not coming back. I'm here to say Madrid is not coming back. This one feels different. 3-0, bro, defensively, you guys are sound. Matchup-wise, I think you guys match up very well with them. I really don't think this Madrid team is going to break down Arsenal. I think it's over. And kudos to Arteta because the tactics, it's flawless. Absolutely. 100%.
Thank you. So, you're right about that.
Kudos to Arteta, man. When credit is due, you just got to give it, man. This could be the year for y'all, man. If you get past Madrid, you got to win the Champions League.
I agree.
You've got to. This is the game. Mommy. This is the game. So I feel like if you get past this game,
Because it's like we're gonna beat Madrid and lose to PSG or Villa. Like, come on, bro, that doesn't even sound right.
I don't think you guys lose to them. You guys will get
to them. That's where I'm at. Where I'm at is once, if and when we beat Madrid, I feel like this team should not. I mean, they shouldn't feel untouchable, but. They should have that confidence. No, they should have the confidence.
When you beat up the bully, in the school, everyone in the school now knows you're the guy.
You're the man. You got the juice now. You got the juice now.
Yeah, fam. Everyone's coming to you and looking at you crazy. Like, are you going to be the new bully or are you going to be a nice guy? How are you going to? Now everyone is just on eggshells. When you beat up the bully, you become the next guy. And then you dictate. That's just how it is. When Chelsea won, we should have dictated, but our stupid whatever happened, we had to sell our club. But Chelsea, in that moment in time, no one thought we were going to win the Champions League. But when we won, everyone was on eggshells for the next year because they were like, yo, this team is kind of serious. Mm-hmm. You know, had Tuchel had a whole nother year, who knows what would have happened. But Gabriel, I agree. I think that you guys played a great match. I agree with Mike. It was flawless. Even if you make mistakes in a game like that, it's all in hindsight because 3-0 at home against Madrid in Champions League is a night that no one will ever forget. Literally, as a fan of the beautiful game, we all were watching and just, I mean, we all said it, Declan Rice legacy game. Declan Rice is now cemented in history.
Absolutely.
Cemented in Champions League history, Arsenal history.
No more world-class debates.
There isn't. That 100 mil stamped. Yeah. It's notarized. It's 100%. Notarized.
And we always talk about, you know, big players play big in big games. And we always ask from that from our biggest players, all of us. When United plays City, when Chelsea plays Arsenal, when we play these big clubs, you guys want Cole Palmer to show up. Salam wants Bruno to show up. I want Odegaard and Saka and Declan Rice. We all have guys that we want to show out. And to see it, you know, happen in real time, man, honestly. Like I said, bro, that was my first time watching Madrid Arsenal in live. And I was shell-shocked, bro. I mean, not only was it, like, great to, you know, just see – these are matches we see on FIFA. I've seen on FIFA for the last 25 years, 26 years of my life. So to see it in person – not in person in London, but, you know, to see it on the TV screen live, and then to see us have that type of performance, man, I'll never forget that for, honestly, the rest of my life. I'll be completely honest. I really hope that we go to the Bernabeu and do the same thing. Like, I don't want us to be scared. I want us to have all of the confidence going in to go and smack them at home, too. Like, I truly do. To let everyone know in the Champions League, like, nah. We might have chalked up the Prem this year for sure. You might see us mess up the Prem, but we're coming from this with full force, and I want to imprint that into everyone's mind. If I'm being completely honest, I want us to go and smack Madrid at home.
I think that's what you guys are gonna do. You guys are not gonna go in and sit back. You guys have them on the ropes right now. If they try to get too open and try to press too high, it's over. It's really over. Right now, they're in a weird situation where they have to be super aggressive from the start.
Yeah.
And you guys have enough weapons to beat them on the counter.
Martinelli on a dead sprint? Cooked.
I'm telling you.
I mean,
especially if they're going to leave Alaba. I think the worst thing that they did was putting Alaba on Saka.
He's
getting cooked.
Shout out to David Alaba, definitely one of my favorite players. But I kind of wanted to take it away from Arsenal. I like what you guys said about them, and I agree with Mike. I think that's you know, as someone who's a little bit older than, I mean, not by that much, than you, Cornelius and Gabriel. Like, I would say, like, this as an Arsenal, like, this is the biggest Arsenal game ever to me. I think
I agree.
I think the last big Champions League moment I remember from Arsenal is when Thierry Henry when he ran down the sideline and did to the. Remember, he jumped over the one guy, and like, I don't know. I don't even.
Bro,
know.
I mean, I was.
I don't even know
when we were looking at when we were editing and looking at stuff for our recaps. I was watching that video. I actually went back and watched snippets of that game because I was like, "Damn, Gabriel said the last time." Gabriel's never seen them live. What's the last time they played? And I had to go back and watch footage on YouTube, and I was like, wow, this was that match.
Yeah, I just wanted to take it down the Real Madrid route in the sense of, you know, and I said this to Camavinga won't be in the second leg. I just saw his he was going to be out anyway, but I said this in the group chat to you guys. This feels a lot like when LeBron went to the Miami Heat, for those of you guys who follow basketball. And I think, you know, earlier in the conversation, Mike, we were talking about how, you know, these in the modern game, I guess these systems really kind of dumb down players, water down players, if you will. Real Madrid is the one team that I can confidently say that there is no system. It's just vibes. It's just go out there and we're just going to beat you guys because we of who we have. And I honestly think that there's a lot of, you know, I think that like when LeBron went to D-Wade, went to the Miami Heat that first year and, you know, D-Wade was taking all the shots and D-Wade was the one that, you know, was still 1A, if you will. I think that there's a serious conversation that needs to be had internally, in my opinion, especially amongst the attackers, about how we're going to go about this. Because in my opinion, I love Vinicius. We just had a clip that came out yesterday, I believe, about how he's equaled Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, for most goals scored for Real Madrid. But this has not been his best season, in my opinion. And I don't think that it helps when your best attacker isn't having a best season, and then you're also trying to fit in this other guy who is a big personality in himself, and he's trying to find his footing. And yes, like, he has 20 plus what goals in La Liga. I'm not saying that he's had a bad season, but this is not Mbappe at his best. And I think that there's a lot of things that they need to figure out. And I don't think that in real time they can figure all these things out. I think 3 goals, like Mike said, you're not coming back from this. Not with all the question marks that you have surrounding your team. I mean, who's going to play at left back? One thing that I know for sure is that Alaba can't keep up with Saka. And Ferland Mendy is not – I don't think he's going to be healthy enough to play. You have a young kid in Asensio who has had, I would say, for the most part, a pretty good season. Definitely deserves to be a part of that project going forward. But you could tell he looked the way I thought Kivior was going to look. You know, with the lights in terms of these bright lights, like, just couldn't handle it. And you looked rattled. Rudiger, not your best game either. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at – all across the field. Modric, when you were there, I mean...
Yeah, Modric was nowhere.
And Rodrigo, and... Rodrigo.
See, my thing with him, though, is he wasn't great, but I just... I don't know. You could have subbed Vinny off before you subbed Rodrigo off, and I wouldn't have said anything. But I understand Rodrigo is the easy one to take out of everybody. But Bellingham looked like he was on an island by himself, I think... between Odegaard, Partey, and Rice, obviously they did their job, but I think there's more questions that Real Madrid need to answer, because I really don't see Arsenal doing much except defending, and the one thing that Arsenal have shown that they can do is defend. So I think, unfortunately, for Real Madrid, it's over.
Can I ask you something? I don't know if you guys noticed, but Ancelotti came out with an old school 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Do you guys think he needs – what formation would you guys suggest he goes with in this next game?
I mean, if I'm being honest, he needs to match us up straight up, because you have to match us straight up.
Let's go man for man.
You have to go band for band, man for man. It's just you have to. And you have to let your individual guys hopefully win their individual battles. And, I mean, that's going to be tough against Timber and Miles Lewis-Skelly. I'm just being completely honest. Like, Rodrigo was locked up. He was in jail. Vinny was locked up. He was in jail. Mbappe was also locked up. He was in jail. No, like, our defenders didn't give them an inch. And honestly, yes, shout out Kivior, because I honestly thought he was going to be a deer in headlights, and he looked amazing. He looked great for us in that tie. So I think they need to match up for us eye for eye, and you go 4-4-3 or 4-3-3. And yeah, I feel like that's all they can do. And it just comes down to, at that point, individual battles and winning your individual battle. Bellingham really didn't win his. Modric for sure didn't win his. And if you have two guys not winning the individual battle in the midfield, you lose the midfield, which means that you don't have it anymore, which means that you're most likely going to lose the game if you can't control the ball and control the midfield. So, yeah, they need to match up with us, and they need to win their individual battles. And we'll see what happens. But I have all the confidence in the world going into Wednesday, all the confidence.
Yeah, I want to end it here, and then I want to end it with something Gabriel said last week. Gabriel said, "I think we have the better midfield," and Salam said, "What?" And Gabriel said, "I think we have the better midfield. I think if we can win the midfield, we win the match."
But they won the midfield because Moreno was their striker, and he kept giving them a +1. That's how I saw it, because they didn't know every time that he dropped in from that central role.
Regardless of the tactics, I think Gabriel looked at his squad and he assessed it. And however Arteta wanted to shift the pieces on the chessboard to make them win the midfield, they won the midfield. And that I think that was the biggest thing for them. They won the midfield, and that was able to win them the match. So we'll see what happens with that tie. But I want to talk about, you know, tomorrow's matches, not so much the Barcelona-Dortmund match, because that's pretty much done and dusted. But Aston Villa versus PSG. Villa is back at Villa Park. They need two goals to equalize and hopefully, you know, don't let their guy, Mr. Javier, concede. But how do you feel about Villa maybe getting the home crowd to boost them up a little bit?
I'm not going to lie, bro. I talk about the first goal in our match. The first goal in this match is going to be so important. I think it's more important in this match than it is in our match. I want to say this a little lightly, but I'm so serious when I say this. If Villa score the first goal, it's no lie, I think it's going to extra time. And I think it might be like a 3-1. I think it might be like a 3-1. You know, PSG gets one back and Villa scores again. Unai Emery has proven himself in European tournaments, in tournaments in general. He knows how to play these ties. He knows his tactically. He knows how to set his team up. He knows how to get his team going. And I know this from experience. Honestly, you guys still Europa League final. So if I'm being completely honest, I think Villa 1 will come out firing. But I think if they're able to get that first goal, PSG has a long day, a extremely long day. And not saying that PSG can't get it done, but I think this Villa team, they, like I said, 3-1 is completely different than 3-0. Completely different. This is, they're down 2-0 in their eyes. Oh, we can, one goal, we're right back in it. It's that simple. And for PSG, it's one goal and they're right out of it. And it's that simple for them too. So I think it's, you know, that first goal is going to be really important. But honestly, if Villa score first, I think Villa get out. Crazy enough, I'm not even going to lie, I think Villa get out if they score first.
I like that, Gabriel. I'm actually going to go the opposite way and just kind of double down on what I said last week. I think that it's been a great run for the Villains, but I think that it's a wrap. I don't think that any of these guys have been in this position before, aside from the manager. I'm looking at just certain matchups on the field, and I'm just like, defensively, I just don't see how, you know, Konsa, Mings, and De Sassi are going to stop Doué, Dembele, and, you know, whoever else is playing.
We them boys.
it's just not happening, man. I really think that this PSG team, man, aside from Barcelona, is probably the most complete team. I'm not going to put Arsenal in that mix just because they don't have a, like, you know, even if Kai Havertz was here, I would say, you know, Arsenal's in that mix too, but I just think PSG and Barca are the most complete teams, man. They have the experience. They've been here before. We saw how they got eliminated last year. And I think Villa should focus on the FA Cup and finishing in top four. But I think that this, where how far they've gotten in Champions League is a good stepping stone. But yeah, man, you're not going to beat this team. You had opportunities in the first leg. I saw you. You squandered it. So
yeah,
maybe next year.
I agree with Gabriel on this one. I feel like if Villa scores, they have a chance. If they score first, they definitely have a chance. But what Salam said is also true. Two things can be true. This PSG team, man, I doubted them. Salam saw it from jump early in the season. So, you know, kudos to you, man. You called this. I don't see any weaknesses, man. I just don't see it. Just don't see it. So for me, I think PSG takes this. But if Villa scores first, yeah, PSG better watch out.
I swear. They got the professional over there, you know? Leon, the professional.
But he don't even play.
I know, right? He hasn't had a great season. But
tell him, I wouldn't even say that he hasn't had a great season. I just feel like now he's been out of favor for
I mean, you have Rashford.
These guys are producing, and that's what I was gonna say. This Villa team has made leaps and bounds in 12 months, you know, from where they started and where they are right now. And I agree with Gabriel. I think both things are true. Just like Mike said, I think two goals is a lot, but if they can score in the first half and cut it down to just a one-goal lead, anything can happen. And so with them having the home court advantage, home field advantage, I think it's definitely advantageous for them. I can't tell you the last time Villa Park has been in the Champions League this deep in the tournament. So yeah, for them, this is massive, bro. Like there's a difference when it comes down to these type of environments, Salam.
And, absolutely, and
I agree with you 1,000%. I've been rooting for PSG this whole year. You know how I feel about Dembele. I really want him to get one, even if it's just to the finals. I really want him to prove that he can be one of those elite top 30, top 40 players in the world. Without Mbappe, he's doing this, you know what I'm saying? The record and the numbers speak for themselves. But this is where champions are made. This is where people cement themselves. Just like Declan Rice went ahead of Brace when he needed to come through for his team. Who knows what happens when Villa Park needs somebody to come through for them. So Unai Emery has shown time and time again he knows how to get to finals. So I think this is going to be the most interesting out of the ties for me. I really can't call it either way, to be honest. I think this is going to be the most interesting out of the four ties. But just want to speak about the last one before we go over to the prep.
Wait, one more question. Is this a big game for Ollie Watkins?
1,000%. Absolutely. This is the biggest game for everyone on Villa. This is the biggest game for everybody on Villa, bro.
Yeah, we'll see how he does.
For sure.
All these Prem guys that we watch week to week, you see them in Europe.
Yeah. There's no question about that. This is the biggest game for every single one on that pitch. 1,000%. So,
like Cornelius said, I don't know the last time Villa was in the this deep in the Champions League.
We're not doing that.
Come on, we want to compare. We always say, oh, you guys watch too much Prem. You only look at Prem. All right, well, you know, we get to see the Prem up against, you know, the rest of Europe. That's what we want to see. And this is the time. I just said big players play big and big matches. Ollie Watkins. What, 20 plus goals, 10 plus assists last season? Show it, please.
Not just him,
please. Rashford, show it. You did your thing against PSG last year. What was it, last year in the Champions League? He had a hat trick and got him out of there, right? That was last year, no?
Huh.
Or 2 years ago. Remember, was that 2 years ago when you guys were in Champions League and Rashford had a hat trick and got PSG out?
Gabriel, that was like before COVID.
that was before COVID. That was a minute.
Gabriel Ole was there.
Lukaku really? Was there. That was that long ago.
That was the pink jersey.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. Never mind. No, but still,
to Gabriel's point, I mean, we tooted Morgan Rogers. Rashford's now looking at a second chance at life.
Asensio's.
He's Champions League royalty, you know, coming over from Madrid, who we just talked about. So this is a big game for a lot of the players on that pitch right there. So yeah, for sure.
Stassi, I mean, like, do you want to make this move permanent? No, I'm not trying to be funny, Mike, but
Ian Matson as well. Came over from Chelsea. He came from Dortmund, another Champions League team. Yeah. He's been here before.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just, you know, it's Tyrone Mings, you know, let's get back into the England squad. What does that look like? You don't think Tuchel is going to be looking at that game? Konsa, you know, like these guys, I don't know, bro.
I agree. De Sassi got cooked this past weekend. I don't know if y'all saw
that. Just wait.
No, man. Let's go to the last time, man. We got Inter versus Bayern Munich. Bayern had to do what they had to do, but this tie is going to be interesting as well. I don't think as interesting as Villa versus PSG, but how do we feel about Dortmund versus Inter?
Bayern.
I said Dortmund. Bayern versus Inter.
I'm not going to lie. I think Bayern up out of there.
Yeah. Up out of there?
Mm. Yeah. I think Bayern's up out of there. I think they needed to win at home. I think it's so tough to play in Italy. I don't know what it is. But I think and Italian teams are known for being defensively sound, especially Inter, right? But it is so tough to go to Italy and get a result in a tie like this. That's what I feel like. That's also a huge part on how Inter got to the Champions League. That was what, 2 years ago? Two years ago now? Yeah, they went to the final 2 years ago. So, yeah, I think Bayern needed to at least tie it up or win that tie at home. And the fact that they didn't, it's going to – I mean, they have a massive task going going to Milan and trying to get a result there. I just don't see it. I really just don't. I don't know. I don't see it. But that would be a fun one to watch, but I just don't see it happening.
I think especially with the result they got this past weekend. I mean, I think we touched on it briefly last week. Dortmund is not a very good team, but they struggled with them this past weekend. So I don't know, man. Going to Milan at the San Siro Champions League night, Inter up to, I don't know. I just don't see Bayern coming out of this one.
It's only 2-1.
They're up one goal, but I don't know. I don't see it happening, Salam. Maybe I just don't see it happening, but
you know, Champions League nights, anything can happen. All they have to do is just score one. So it could get sticky, but I think, you know, Inter is well assembled to withhold every type of, you know, pressure they throw at them. So I think they'll be fine.
And honestly, bro, I can see this match going 0-0. I swear.
Exactly.
I swear I can see this match going 0-0, bro. Like,
exactly.
Inter know how to close out matches, especially in Champions League.
Yeah.
Especially this is not new to them. So yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that Inter will go through this tie. And I think it'll be Inter Barca that next round. And
yeah, I'm gonna go Bayern, man. I'm gonna stick with my Bavarians, man. I think Harry Kane probably had the worst miss of his career in that game, and I think
that was bad, bro.
If he makes that, I think we're looking at this tie a little bit differently. Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult to go play in Italy, but 2-2, I believe, makes it a little bit more manageable. But for large parts of the game, I felt like Bayern hung with them, and I say that because they got two big absences in the team, and Alphonso Davies and Jamal Musiala. So I think in spite of all that, they were still able to hang around. I think really the key is, and I don't know why it's taken this long in the season for Kompany to see it, but you got to play Thomas Muller more, man, especially in these moments. Like, he's going to produce something for you. So I would love to see him start.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? He does more than a lot of other guys who, you know, you're expecting. So I think
if he starts Mula, it could be a different game.
Yeah. I hope Kompany is – I think he's had a great season, man. I would love to see him just be – and I'm not saying he's not, but just in the situation that he's in, I would love to see him be a little bit more proactive. And as a young manager, I know you haven't been here as a coach, but, like, you know, please don't be naive going into the San Siro. Like, if you got to make changes, if you have to take risks, take those risks, because – you got nothing to lose here, man. And, I mean, you're probably going to win the Bundesliga. So, I'm going to side with Bayern.
We'll go for it.
Yeah, man. There was and this is why I need to be better at sending myself these news. But I don't want to butcher it. But there was a Kingsley Coman quote earlier today that I saw this again right before we hopped on. And essentially, a reporter was asking him what it's like playing with Lewandowski versus what it's like playing with Kane. And his quote was something along the lines of, when you're playing with Lewandowski, you're playing for Lewandowski, versus when you're playing with Kane, you're playing with Kane. And then he went on to explain, when you're playing with Lewandowski, he asks you for more service, he demands the ball more, versus when you're playing with Kane, you know, he allows to get the ball, receive the ball. He gives more assists. And so I don't remember exactly the numbers, but I think on the season right now, Lewandowski is somewhere around like 30 goals, 4 assists, and Kane's at around like 25 goals and 10 assists. You guys can fact check those numbers. I think they're pretty close. But I wanted to pose a question. If you were, you know, if you were a player today and you had to, if you had to pick a striker to go and win a game, are you picking Lewandowski or are you picking Kane?
Before you answer that, I just want to say Lewandowski's on this is all competitions. Lewandowski's on 40 goals, 3 assists. Kane's on 34 goals, 10 assists.
All right, there it is. Thank you for finding that.
I would side.
Like you're in a final, you have to go win a game. Who's your striker, Lewandowski or Kane?
For me, it's Lewandowski.
I'm going Lewandowski.
I love Harry Kane, but
I love Kane, but I'm not gonna. I'm going Lewandowski. He got that killer in him. He got that. I'm not gonna lie. You're a Spursy man, bro. That's this follows you everywhere, fam. I'm not gonna lie. As good as you
I
are,
I want to say. I didn't want to say.
As good as you are, Lewandowski. I didn't want to say it. Full faith in man. I have full faith in man. Nah, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Kane. I think that we're gonna create more chances as a team with Harry Kane. I look at Barcelona this year, and I'm not surprised by the numbers that you said. To be very honest with you, I was surprised with the number that you said, but I wasn't surprised that he has a high number, and that's just because that team in general with Yamal and Rafinha create so many chances, whereas I look at Harry Kane.
He doesn't need to assist, though. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, but I look at Harry Kane. Well, I mean, it's just—I guess it just depends on what you value, what you want as a team.
To answer his one, like his question was a final.
You have to final.
And I know Lewandowski is scoring. I know, like for a fact. But I've seen Kane in a champion. I've seen Kane in a Champions League final. He looked trash. I'm not gonna lie.
Spurs making that Champions League final to me, I don't even
Euros final.
I don't even look
Euros at final too.
I've seen him in a few.
Look at, well, yeah, guys. I mean,
was it a Carabao? It a Carabao or FA Cup?
No, I think it was. I don't
Carabao.
Think
it
was, Carabao. Carabao. Jose, right?
They fired Jose before.
He did play.
I mean, I don't know. I think in finals it's easy to single out a player, especially a striker. But I just think as a team.
But that's the question.
Yeah, but I'm answering
all the marbles. You feel me?
Yeah, and I'm gonna say Harry Kane 10 times out of 10 because I know my team is gonna create more chances than your team. You're gonna be relying on one person to get you a goal, whereas I have 11 players in my central striker, the guy that's at the highest point of my team. He's gonna help my team create goals. We don't have to circle the whole performance around giving him performances. So no, I wouldn't say. Let me ask you this. I answered your question. Cornelius, who'd you say before I ask you your question?
I'm going with Lewandowski.
Very good. So if you were to switch those players, who do you think would have more numbers? Do you think Harry Kane would have, do you think Lewandowski would have all these goals with Bayern Munich as opposed to
he's played on Bayern Munich before. I'm talking about right now.
I'm not talking about the history. The Lewandowski that's playing for Barcelona right now is the different Lewandowski.
Very comparable to what they are right now for each of them. I don't think they'd be different, to be honest.
The Lewandowski that's playing for Barcelona right now is different from the Lewandowski that was playing for
I agree.
Yeah.
But Germany is also different than Spain, so it's not like asking two different things.
So okay, but
it's not necessary for Kane to probably go as deep as he is to get the ball and play with Elise the way he does. In Germany, he doesn't need to do that, but that's just the way Kane is used to playing.
So you don't think that Barcelona, we recognize them as historically a team that they pass the ball, they play with each other, right? You don't think a player of his qualities that's able to create chances for another, connect, you don't think that would be more useful in a system like that?
I think he would.
I don't think he would score the same amount of goals, though.
We're talking about DA, though.
Better,
I think Gabriel said DA.
I don't think his output is higher necessarily, no. But I don't think Kane goes to Barcelona and then scores 10 or 15 more goals and has 10 more assists just because he fits better. I think he gets
15.
I personally don't.
You know how many goals Yamal would bang, Rafinha would bang?
I honestly think
his assist tally would go up, and because Kane is, he likes to do everything. So I think he would get more set piece goals and he'd be on top. But no, I don't think he necessarily gets a boost in goals or assists just because he's on Barca. No. And we know what Lewandowski does in Germany. We've seen him do it.
I would definitely say he will definitely have more assists than four that Lewandowski has right now. But he's not going to have more goals.
Yeah. Lewandowski has three assists. I don't think his goal output would be more. And I feel like This might be a hot take. This really might be a hot take, but I feel like he'd struggle at Barca. Personally, I feel like he'd struggle at Barca. I feel like that dropping deep, we don't need you to do that.
Yeah, we really don't.
I feel like I personally, this may be a hot take. Players. But I feel like Bayern doesn't have those players in those in the midfield. And with Elise, they've added that, right? With Elise, they've 100% added that. So I don't want to take anything away from him. But I don't feel like Bayern has those players in the midfield that are as creative as Barcelona's. And I feel like Barcelona has players in the midfield like Lewandowski. Yes, he's an all-out nine. He doesn't drop back. We know what Lewandowski does. But I feel like Kane would just congest things with that squad. I feel like every team, well, the two teams that Kane has been on club-wise, they've needed him to do this. And Olise has kind of helped has helped that burden as well coming to Bayern. But I feel like at Spurs, Kane had to drop deep. He had to create. He had to do everything. Bayern right now too, Olise's helped with that too. But still, he's going to create. He has to do that. At Barcelona, you don't need to do that. You just need to be a striker. You just need to score goals. And you, can Kane do that? Absolutely. It's cemented. I'm not going to talk about his ability. We know he can score goals, but he doesn't need to do all that dropping back, and we don't need you to spray 30-yard balls. We have seven people behind you that can do that. We don't need you to do that. So I feel like personally he'd struggle, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on this too long. I just want to pose a question, but I think it's good discourse because I saw that and I was like, wow, that's actually a really great question because they're age mates. You know, we've seen them grow. We've seen them go on multiple clubs. Now they're both, you know, playing at the highest level, both in Champions League at the same time. So I want to know what the boys think about that. But let's end it with our Premier League, man. I don't want to really go team by team because for most of us at this point, the league is it's just a moot point. Yeah, we got to do what we got to do. But I do want to talk about top four because the top four race is a point of a lot of uncertainty right now, especially for Chelsea Club. Mike, I want to pose the question to you. We haven't really talked about it, but this draw this past weekend feels like a loss, personally.
Absolutely.
Our top four hopes, what do you think of them as we stand right now?
It's shaky. I'm hoping, you know, with this team, we haven't had a lot of these, you know, like pressure moments where we have to win. So I haven't really gotten a chance to see how they respond. We've had some good games where, you know, we had to win and we won, but it wasn't against, you know, like top opponents. You know, Tottenham, we had to beat them. We beat them. They're not a big team. I think they're 15th right now. So I don't even look at that. And, you know, I don't know, man. The only thing I'm hoping for is to get one of the five spots because top four is looking slim and slim. You know, Newcastle, if they, with the way they've been playing, I think they're going to solidify their spot at third. They're going to take over Forest this week. And then it's between us, Forest, City. And I believe Aston Villa. These are teams that are playing well and getting results when needed. We're not doing that. So I have to be realistic. I think sixth right now is the spot we might end up in, but I think we can still push for that final four or fifth spot. I still think it's possible, but it's just going to take a lot of focus, a lot of, you know, I'm pretty much asking these guys to do something I haven't seen them done all season.
That's
what's tough for me to, you know. But honestly speaking, I feel like we might end up again at sixth. We really might end up again at sixth. I just want to see how we come out the next game. How are we going to who are we playing? Everton, right? I think we play Everton. I want to see how we play Everton. Everton is on a good roll right now. How are we going to respond against Everton? We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this all year. I thought that we'd finish in fifth place just based on how we were last year and kind of how I thought we would build upon this year, knowing we'd have European games, Conference League, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, bro, I this is this.
No, I think we played Fulham. Yeah, this week.
Yeah, I was looking at our schedule because I'm not exactly sure we play next. We play.
That's a tough game.
Very tough.
Every match is tough from here on out. Like there's no more easy matches. I said this already. There are literally no more easy matches. Everyone is fighting for something.
This last weekend was the one. Yeah,
Ipswich is still fighting to stay alive. Like they're literally clawing to stay alive. They needed Wolves to lose. Wolves got a result, but they're still technically, by the math, still in the Premier League because they drew.
The only team that's easy right now is Southampton. They're the lick.
Yeah. So at match week 30, I told Mike our next four matches, we have to get results, because our last four matches in the Prem are against Liverpool, Newcastle, Manchester United, and Nottingham Forest.
Lord.
So the teams that we're in contention with within this top four battle, we see them. Exactly. So there's no more can we do it? Who do we think? We will find out exactly who we are the last month of the year. So for me, the first four matches were all supposed to be 12 points. We get 3 points here, 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 and then we go into battle. So now this draw against and the fact that this team who's going to potentially, and let me not just say potentially, we know this team is going back to the championship, and they got 4 points off of this year. They got 4 points off of us this year. I look at Enzo Maresca and I say that's so disappointing. Mike, since October, I've been asking Maresca, who is our final 11 when we need to go into battle and get a result? When the chips are stacked against us and we need to go get a result, whether it's home or away, who's going to be our 11 that goes into battle? Last week on this podcast, I asked Salam, since you're so confident that you know who our starting 11 is, tell me who you think our starting 11 is that we put in to go into battle.
We struggled
last week, and we struggled again on Sunday when we were all sitting here watching the match, because we were all confused why our two center backs were our worst center back pairing when we have two right backs on the bench.
Yes.
But instead of starting them in their natural position, we're starting a center back who we brought back to our team after we sold him in the summer for no reason. We sold Chalobah for no reason to Palace.
Sent him on loan.
So we said, hey, go get better or go play because we don't need you right now. And then we figured out maybe we do need you. So let's enact that buyback clause to put you as center back where we're having deficiencies. So in a match where we're at home in the last seven matches of the season, where we're in a top four battle, where if we win, we go get our spot in fourth place and solidify ourselves for at least six more weeks. We go and we play him out of position and we don't play our captain or Malo Gusto, who's been playing well all year. And then we concede two in the first half. And then now we have to claw our way back to potentially get a point. And so I look at the manager and I look at our team and I say, how are we supposed to go? And like, I have no confidence in this team because I don't have confidence in the manager, and I definitely don't have confidence in Robert Sanchez.
I'm not going to lie. This Maresca is reaching and it's still a little early for me to say this, if I'm being completely honest, but Maresca's reaching for me Emerin levels of questions about lineups. He's reaching that point for me, because when Maresca first came in, cool, we're going to rotate the lineup, we're going to have to figure it out, cool, great. But now I'm looking at your lineups and I'm starting to look and be like, you're not in the same situation that United's in, you know? You guys are, and I'm not saying you're in a win now mode, but you guys have, to me, you guys have a pretty clear-cut 11. That's just how I feel.
Thank you.
To me, I think your 11, for the most part, is solidified. Your strongest 11, to me, is solidified. But week in, week out, I see players that should not be playing all the time. And I'm reaching that point with him where I'm like, bro, you're supposed to be good, but your decisions are making me think you're not good. You're making dumb decisions, like very dumb decisions. Like how I feel about Emerin. Right now, Emerin, for me, he's not making right decisions. I've said this for weeks. This is not even just like this past week. I'm saying this for weeks. He, for me, the lineups have been very questionable for a long time. And Maresca, I'm looking at him the same way. Like, bro, your lineups are weird. Your lineups are very, very weird. And I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know what he's seeing, if I'm being completely honest, but the back line, he needs to figure that needs to be numero uno. The back line needs to be figured out. The back five keeper and the back line need to be figured out ASAP. Because if you guys don't figure that out, the rest of your team will not thrive. That's just point blank simple. We always talk about the spine. We always talk about the spine, right? Striker, center mids, center backs, keeper.
But yeah, bro.
Keeper's not there. I'll tell you that. Keeper's cooked. Center backs, cooked. The center mids, cool. Striker, cool. But the center backs and the defender, the defenders and the keeper, you guys need to figure that out, man.
But Gabriel, as a neutral, because you don't support Chelsea, neither do I. We don't have to dwell on this too long. You can tell, right, who the best current 11. If you were the coach and if you had to put out a lineup tomorrow, you know who the current, like, you know who you would pick, right?
Yes, 10,000%.
So the problem that we're having right now is the manager is making these bogus decisions based on all the
again, I think we're all on the same page as far as who we feel the 11 is. I'm speaking from a general sense of the fan, because as a fan, week in, week out, we have seen a different 11. Injuries or no injuries, full strength or no full strength, we still have been seeing this rotation. And that's the point I was trying to get across last week, Salam. It's not that I'm so hard-headed to not know who I think the best 11 is. It's that I'm looking at our manager, and as a fan, it's confusing because I don't know who he's going to put on the pitch ever. In matches where we're supposed to see Ipswich, when Jaden Philogene Bidance doesn't start and Delap doesn't play for 70 minutes, we're still struggling and down two goals. And that's where the frustration comes in. That's where it is, bro. It's not that we don't know what we're supposed to see. It's just that we're not seeing it.
He doesn't.
And so when we're in this top four battle and I'm supposed to rely on my manager, who's supposed to be the son of Pep and from this great city history of great managers, I'm not seeing it on the back end or on the front end. Maybe on the front end. Maybe in 2024 I saw it. We were great. But when the going gets tough, I'm not seeing it right now. That's the frustrating part.
And it's weird too, because like I would say you guys are in a similar situation to where I was when like Arteta first came, right? But you're not. You have players. We needed a whole new 11.
We spent the money to get the players. It's been a whole year. We tried a high manager with Poch, didn't work. We got our new manager. We started off hot. But now we're in this mode again where it's like, I don't want to go and just recycle a new manager and start from scratch again. But it's like, fam, we need to – like how could you start off at this high level and then just incrementally get worse as it gets more important?
Yeah. If you probably don't want to hear this, but 4 points taken off of us by Ipswich, those 4 points right now will have us in, I believe, third. It would have us in third.
Like those 4 points, to have you in third, crazy. 58 points.
Crazy. Like match week 32. We're tinkering with Chalobah right back. I don't know.
I think that's it. But We could talk about top four talk. Definitely want to talk about the other two teams. United got smacked up. I don't know if we really want to dwell on them too long. I know we're looking more so on the European front for them, but, you know, like we talked about, Newcastle doing what they're supposed to do. Just getting wins, advancing. They still have their game in hand, and now they're in the top four looking down. But Salam, you know, first half 1-1. There was a little bit of confidence going to the second half, but obviously you just catapulted into despair.
This is what happened.
That's, you know, John Morant be pulling the grenade.
Apparently, it's not even that. It's not a grenade. It's just...
No. I'm taking my words.
Yeah, I'm throwing it at the fans.
Throwing them out the fans, and I'm blocking out the haters.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Ja Onana. I really don't have much to say about the Newcastle game. We lost to a team that was much better than us. And that's been reflective of that game and all season. But for me, the focus was more so on
Lyon.
And we were up in that game. We squandered our lead, and now we head back into Old Trafford for the second leg, tied 2-2. I guess I'll just do my predictions now for that game. But I said this last week, and here I am again. This is the biggest game of our season. again, like I said, we're up in that Lyon game. For us to walk away from that game with the win is heartbreaking, honestly. But we shot ourselves in the foot with another mistake, two mistakes, I'd say. You know, the goalkeeping position has been a question mark for us all season. People talk about how Onana is not that great. We give Bayindir an opportunity against Newcastle, and he shows us why he shouldn't play for us either. So in the Thursday game, I would like to see Onana come back. I'm actually expecting a bounce back performance from him. You have to. You had that back and forth with Matic. You're at home now. You have the home crowd behind you. You got to step up.
Wow, you're really going on faith. Wow.
No, he has to. I just think that the game really depends on, because no disrespect to Lyon, in terms of just playing them, you know, our 10 versus their 10 on the field, I'm very confident with our team. I know that last week I talked about how Lyon was this tough team, and honestly, I watched them, and I can't say this often throughout the season, but we were the better team on last Thursday. And I firmly believe that we're going to be the better team again this year, this Thursday as well, too. But we can't shoot ourselves in the foot, not this late in the Europa League stage. So I'm going to go with a 2-1 win at home. Goal from Bruno. Bruno's actually been playing very well, so shout out to him. Hopefully he can keep it up. But
thanks.
I'm going to say a goal from Bruno, and I think we'll get another one from – I think probably two from Bruno, honestly, because
who else is going to score? Who else is going to score?
No, I mean, the last thing that I was going to say is obviously Xerxes got hurt and is probably out for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And this may be a crazy take, but I don't see how we're going to win Europa League without Xerxes this season, because I think what he gives us, we can't replace, not in that position. And if you're telling me that we have to rely on Rasmus Højlund to get us goals from now into the end of the season, we won't get enough.
70 mil? Jeez. Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said. Outside of this potentially being a bounce back game for Onana, I really don't know, man. I feel like, you know, he's had a couple of these, right?
Yeah.
This one felt different, bro. And I don't know why. And this is just me personally. This one felt different. Like, this was like, oh, this is really your level. I don't know why, but this one just solidified it. Like, nah, this really might be your level. Like, this is who you are as a keeper. Because, bro, I'm just looking at that first goal, man. And Salam, I'm not trying to even be funny. Like, bro,
it's not good.
From that free kick, I think any of your keepers are saving that. I'm not even trying to be funny. From your girls' teams, I think any of your keepers are saving that.
Yeah,
it's so abysmally bad, and you get paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week to do one job. And that is what you're giving up? I can't. And for me, what made it different was Matic was talking trash midweek, early. Yeah. And that's for tomorrow. After he said that, I don't see bounce back, bro.
No shame.
I hate to talk bad about Africans because you know.
Man, that's not what this platform is.
It's not what it's about. Bro. But we have to call. We have to call what it is. What it is like. We have to call it straight. This is just so unacceptable from so many different bro. This is not accepted in any league. In any league, this will not be accepted. And I don't. I agree. I think you do get through this time. I'm being completely honest. I think you go home to Old Trafford. I do think you get through. But there has to be a change at keeper. And I know Benedir didn't do that much better over the weekend, 100%.
Yeah, I don't want to see him.
Yeah, no. I know Benedir didn't do much better at all. So Onana's obviously your one. But there needs to be an investment there. I'm sorry. There needs to be an investment there because if you cannot rely on this guy to get you results, you can't. You can't. And for the one, let's say he does bounce back for this match, right? This one good match does not make up for the other infractions that you have, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about that though. It's just can you for these?
Can he though?
He hasn't.
That's my thing, Andy, because he hasn't. Salam, he hasn't proved it to any of us all
season. No, I know. I'm saying like you have four more games. You have four more games, which is the second leg of this game, the two legs of the semifinal, and then the final of the Europa League. You just have four games, and I need you to lock in and give me some sort of form that you showed for Inter in that Champions League run. But, yeah, man. It's not the first time, too, man. I don't know if you guys recall, but the reason why we were out of Champions League, I think Ten Hag's second year was –
Bayern, Bayern game.
Yeah, he ushered us out. Not even just the Bayern game. I'm looking at Galatasaray.
Two years he's been there, I feel like he's just been very poor. And I want to shout out Amorim, though, for giving him a break away from the team this past weekend, just, you know, to get his mind right. That's a very good move by him. I applaud him for that.
100%.
With that being said, I mean, your manager gave it. He's like, yo, you need to clear your head. Thursday, man. It's your redemption game.
Don't do it, bro, you're cooked.
With everything Matic was saying, you just had to show up. You just had to. And you didn't. So for me, it's difficult, but I'm hoping, you know, Thursday he has a good game, but this is just, I don't think we've seen this in recent years. Like even Kepa was not this bad. I'm sorry. Kepa was not this bad.
I ain't gonna lie, Mike, you're not wrong.
Yeah, he was bad, man.
He was bad, but he wasn't
It was weak wrists and all the above, but I didn't want to speak on it, but since we're here, you know, I just want to end it here. We want the best for Onana, and honestly, we want the best for y'all. Sure. You know, I don't have any horse in the Europa League race, but we're all in Europe. You know, we're on all three tiers of Europe. It'd be nice for the podcast if we could bring it home. You feel me? It'd be nice if we could all do the thing. So
yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
I really don't have a horse in y'all race, so I'm low key rooting for y'all. But it's just,
hey, we'll win if you win, man.
You know, all right. Virtual handshake.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man, let's get into predictions.
Yeah. Well, I'll start.
Arsenal, yeah. Start.
I'll start.
This is the clip. Make it good.
Madrid. Arsenal Madrid. Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time. Arsenal will come out of that match 2-1 winners. Fully believe it. I think we beat them at the Bernabeu. I don't care who scores the goals. It can be Declan Rice, another two free kicks. I really don't care. I see us winning this match, though. I see us being fearless. I see them scoring, but no, they're not beating us. And then over the weekend, we play Ipswich at home. We play Ipswich at Ipswich. I think that speaks for itself. I think, of course, all of our eggs will be in, you know, the Champions League basket. I think we'll rotate some players from the weekend, but I fully expect 3 points at Ipswich as well. But I don't really care what the score is for Ipswich. But 2-1, Arsenal v Madrid at the Bernabeu this week.
Yeah, I'll just follow up on Gabriel. I think, like I said, man, biggest game of the season for us. We got to beat Leon at home. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win as well, too. I know that we'll concede a goal, but I have faith that we'll score. And with Xerxes out, man, I think that this is a great opportunity for Rasmus to come in and show, hey, you know, I can be a part of this project going forward. So, yes, you haven't had the best season, but, you know, you got to control what you can control. And, you know, here's your opportunity. You have 4 clear games to show that you can do it. And, you know, if not, it's going to be tough. If I see Amorim start Bruno at the false 9 or Mason Mount at the false 9, then that's going to tell me everything that I need to know about how he sees him. But, you know, for the sake of the team and for the sake of us hopefully lifting the Europa League, he has to start scoring now.
Do you think Obi Martin gets any games with Xerxes being out?
Definitely. I mean, we don't have any other options.
They ain't got nobody else. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely him. It's him or Højlund. So, even if Chido Obi, if he gets a start over him, then I think that says a lot as well too. But I would like to see Rasmus start in the Europa League semifinal or quarterfinal. If he does well, start him in the semifinal. If not, hey, we have to pivot. And that's one thing that I feel like Amorim has to do a better job of. You can't be sticking by these guys, man. I've said this too long. You're sticking by guys that have gotten countless of people sacked. So,
yeah.
I forgot to ask you, how did you feel about Amas's debut?
I thought he was fine. I think that, you know, all things considering, I think he did okay. Do I think that he's ready? Maybe not ready 100%, but from the little that he showed, I think he was okay. I think our problem with United is that we can't really ease youngsters into the team. It's like it's always just like a save us now moment. So it's not the best environment for young players. But all things considering, I thought Amas did good. But, hopefully we can he can continue building that. And I think that, you know, on the left side, I think that we have a few options between him, Dorgu, and we have this other guy coming in. I can't. He's from one Costa Rica or I'm blanking on his name, but we have another one coming.
Yeah, show's back. So,
real good question, and I don't mean for it to be a topic. I just want everyone to answer it just with a number. That's all I need from you guys. Rasmus Højlund, what's his market value right now?
Market value right now? I would say 35 million.
35, maybe 40 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's young.
I wouldn't pay 40 for him, but I think 35 is fair.
What do you we have a guess?
Yeah, here. Yeah. Papa, what do you think?
You know when the IRS says you refund?
He said, for those that didn't hear, he says, you know when the IRS sends you a refund? Yeah, bro. I'm saying 30, 35, man. He's still a youngster, so like, you know, somebody will pay for it.
Hey, just shout out to Papa, man.
Off the potential alone.
That's crazy.
He said, no, we'll pay you. We'll pay you.
Yeah. Yeah, Fundo, all of that. 100%.
I don't want to. My number, I'm not going to lie, I'm not paying more than $30 million for him. And that's generous. He's young, but I'm sorry, I'm not paying more than 30. But I just want a quick answer.
He'll bang goals in Italy. I don't know about that.
No, I mean,
he did.
Yeah. not really. He only had like three.
Nine? Yeah, like nine all season or something like that.
Physical guys like that, big tall guys, like they.
Nine in Italy, you thought he'd be banging goals in the Prem as well.
70. But, anyway, yeah.
Anyway, Chelsea, we see Legia Warsaw back at home on Thursday.
What's the name? I'm done to
read for Legia Warsaw.
Legia Warsaw.
Legia Warsaw. Okay.
Yeah.
Say it with Tyler. Yeah, bro.
I don't know.
No, I really wanted to.
We don't make the schedule.
No, I really just wanted to know. My boy Tommy, shout out Tommy. My boy Tommy is Polish, so I'm sure he knows that team.
Warsaw. Yes, big city.
Tommy.
Again, we just got to get out of there.
Yeah, we already up 3-0, so. I don't care. Play all the youth. If they can win this, sure. Let's move on. But Fulham this weekend is the challenge. They already beat us at the bridge. I think only team to beat us at the bridge this season was Fulham. City beat us, right?
We drew you at the bridge?
Yeah, 1-1. You forget? Neto, Neto Screamer.
Yeah, remember.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I watched the game with you at Mary Arts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this Fulham game, I would love to say GRG, but I don't got it in me.
Yeah, I don't got it in me.
No, not this.
Let's just get a result.
Definitely a big test for us. Big test for us.
No, I have me of little faith, but I think this will be a 2-1 game.
Chelsea.
2-1 Chelsea.
Let's go.
Shout outs, man.
My shout out is to Gabriel Piwu, number 19 on the Cleveland Crunch. It was great watching you this weekend, man. I enjoyed watching you. I feel like you played great in both games. You know, unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but you're my shout out this week, man. Especially Sunday, yesterday. Bro, those first two, you had me jumping. Even Sierra was watching. We were all, like, into it. So, Gabriel Piwu is my shout-out this week, man.
Cleveland Crunch. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'll backpack off Mike. Definitely, it was fun. It was fun watching you guys. Like Mike said, obviously, you guys fell short of what the team goal was. But I mean, the semifinal game was great. It was entertaining. You guys dominated. The final was great. It was entertaining as well too. And it was great to just see you know what I'm saying, in your environment and excelling and doing well. So shout out to you and shout out to the Crunch. My shout out actually is not a player, but I just wanted to shout out Nike for doing their collaboration with the Air Maxes. I know that obviously Mbappe debuted them and it didn't go as well. So
a lot of people did look heavy.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking at the Air Max, collab like Arsenal's white jerseys. I think Nike has a good thing with this one, man. I would love to see more collabs. Obviously, you know, Nike has a bunch of sneakers that, you know, resonate with us and our culture. And I would like to see more of that, man. I love to see when they did that collaboration with Jordan and Neymar. And I don't know if you guys remember that. They had the Retro 5s. I still think that's the best cleat ever. The white ones and the black ones. So shout out to Nike, man. I would love to see you guys come out with more. And hopefully Mbappe can get some goals in the Air Maxes. But shout out to who was it? Shout out to Culture Kims, man. He said he looked like he was playing in Air Maxes.
I need him to wear the drones on Wednesday too, man.
Yeah. That's the new that's the new Lukaku with the Timbs meme.
See, man. Thanks, man. My shout out, honestly, very, very easy, simple. Shout out Declan Rice, man. Like I said, bro, that was a performance for the ages. You stamped your name in a lot of people's books last week on Tuesday. Spectacular performance, top to bottom. So, yeah, that's my shout out this week. And also, I do want to shout out the Cleveland Crunch. Just, you know, hometown team. You know, unfortunately, you know, we came up short in the final, which is, if I'm being completely honest, it's still really tough for me. Speaking about it right now, I'm about to get emotional. I'm not going to get emotional on the pod, though. But, yeah, it's tough. But I do want to shout out the boys, man. Those are my boys, and I wouldn't want to go to battle with anyone else, if I'm being completely honest. For me specifically, you know, I've been waiting 2 years for that moment. You know, I was injured most of last year, pretty much all of last year, couldn't play. And people were questioning if I was going to come back, if I was going to do this, if I was going to do that, you know, this and the third. And I came back. I had an agenda on my mind. I definitely wanted to win a championship, and I did everything I possibly felt like I could. And unfortunately, we fell short. But I just want to shout out the boys for a great season. You know, unfortunately, of course, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but it doesn't take away from the fact, you know, we're still regular season champs. I got to know yesterday. I was first team all league, which is really, really dope to find out. It doesn't, like I said, none of that stuff really matters to me, but, you know, as a team, I think we had like 4 or 5 all league team players, regular season champs. You know, a lot of our guys were top 5 in assists, goals, game winning goals, saves, you know, stuff like that. So definitely just want to shout out the squad, man. Let them boys to death for sure.
Yeah, man, my shout outs have already been said, but of course, shout out G, little bro. I've been gassing the kid since he was 3 years old when we started in rec league, and here we are, you know, more than 20 years later, and he's still at the highest level doing what he can do. And we don't really talk about the games, you know. I already know how he feels after losses, so there's no point in talking to him about it. You know, when he wants to talk about the game, we'll digress then, but yeah, man, I could tell this one meant a lot. We obviously knew how much it meant, especially you guys coming up. I want to shout out the podcast. You guys made this weekend very, very special. So for thank sure. you for making that trip up here. It was so much fun. Obviously, every time we link, it's just, you know, more memories being made. So even when it's just us kicking it on the couch watching games or us in the stands watching games, we always going to be loud. We always going to be together. So it was fun. And then, you know, shout out the city of Cleveland, man. You know, Cleveland Cavaliers enter the NBA playoffs as number one in the Eastern Conference. And that's huge for us. You know, I know this is a soccer podcast, but a lot's been going on in the city of Cleveland. And so I want to shout out the city of Cleveland just on an athletic front, man. It's a lot bubbling. I know we've been talking about the Columbus Crew. You know, this weekend we have Inter Miami versus the Crew, because they felt they needed the space to accommodate more fans. So, you know, there's just a lot going on with the city. So I want to shout out the Crunch, want to shout out G, want to shout out the Cavs. There's just a lot going on in the sports world in the state of Ohio. And, you know, we are just so happy that we get to cover it, you know, from all fronts. So just a little sappy shout out for me.
Sure. And before you go, Salam, I do want to say, man, I really do appreciate y'all boys for pulling up this weekend. It really means a lot to me.
Anytime.
I don't want to get emotional, sure. But like that type of stuff, man, it really does mean the world to me. You know, so I just want to say, you know, I really do appreciate y'all boys and love y'all boys.
Absolutely.
For sure. No problem.
Yeah, man. I would like to go to more games, man.
Yeah.
This was my first game, and I was like, I like the product. I loved it. I loved it.
It's dope, man. I loved it. For sure.
Man, yeah. Good stuff, guys. We have a lot coming at you guys this week.
Yeah. Interview dropping soon.
So soon. Interview will be, you guys will be watching this on Tuesday. So this
next day, 24 hours.
Yep, it will drop on our interview with Augustine Williams will drop on the 16th. So the day after you're watching this, if you haven't seen our promo, go check it out. Drop a comment, like, share, all that. But until then, appreciate everybody for tuning in. I've been wanting to say this all episode, but shout out to you. Big sippers out here. Good luck to you in your future endeavors.